Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew. We are back. This is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Andrew, there was one game this week because we recorded a little late. It was a good one.
It was maybe the best win for any team in the country this year, a top five road win. Now, you could say that Iowa State win at Allen Fieldhouse was better, but for a top 10 team, we may have the best win because we went into Waco, into the Farrell Center, the daunted Farrell Center, where you could hear KU fans visibly on the television. We went into the Farrell Center and got a win, close win against the Baylor Bears.
How about that?
Virtually putting us in a very good position.
Virtually putting us in a very good position.
Because we have not won the Big 12 yet, but we're virtually in a great position. We've got to win one out of the last four games to clinch the Big 12. And that would make this program have 13 Big 12 titles in a row. We need to talk about what the hashtag is going to be, what the logo is going to be.
13 I think it's okay. 13.
13 for 13. Is that was going to be, I actually have an idea, but
okay, we'll get to that.
It may be so obvious that they're probably going to do it.
We're going to get to that. So we got, but
is it appropriate to talk about that now?
Oh, like, yeah.
We're close enough, right?
Yes. No, absolutely.
Okay.
I might even title this episode, "We Win Again."
Okay.
Like, cause I we got to win one, right?
We just got to win one.
I think you could rest Frank and Devontae and we'd win one of the last four games. Now, Bill's not going to do... Everyone's talking about, like, Bill's going to sit everyone out during the Big 12 tournament. No, he's not. There's no way. He's not built like that. But you might start to see some guys get a little more rest. Okay, over under... What's Frank averaging? About 37 minutes a game?
I think it's 35.7.
Over under... 33 minutes a game the last four games for Frank.
Frank likes to play, so I'm going to take the over. I'm going to take the over.
Okay, what about 34 minutes? Well, don't worry about it. I think it's around there, right?
Yeah, that's a good line. I'll take the under on that.
Okay. I think you're right. And I hope you're right, because there's no reason to go bonkers in this last four games. Get anyone hurt, wrap them in bubble wrap as far as I'm concerned. Let's get to March. So a huge win, as you mentioned, on the road. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about 13. We're going to talk about the remaining folks ready to or yet to play. A little water cooler conversation. The Big 12, Andrew, there is a race heating up in the Big 12. The sprint for the silver.
It's not for first place. It's for second place.
It's for second. And it is starting to heat up. And we're going to talk.
Bum, bum, bum.
We need like a drop about
for
the
silver.
Yes.
Sprint for the silver.
And then we got to talk about Trey Young a little bit and some other guys. And then we'll get out of here. So let's start, Andrew, with that Baylor game. Because we talked about it on this here podcast not too long ago. I think it was Tuesday. That this was a game that was going to be probably a close one, and it was. And every stat I saw or every kind of projection thought it was going to be very close. The KenPom had it a 4-point game for Baylor, but Vegas had it 1.5. And so that was enough to tell me, okay, Vegas has given us some credit. And we haven't really given Vegas a lot of reason to give us some credit. But that kind of gave me a little bit of a good feeling going into the game, because I don't remember what it is, but it's something ridiculous. KU is like 8-15 against the spread or something in the last several games. I don't know what it's bad though. It's very bad. But we were getting some credit here, and sure enough, went in there, kept it close the whole game. It was kind of a game of runs back and forth. But man, that was a hell of a win.
It was a great win. You know, I felt good about it. So we were down 6 points at halftime, but everything was going pretty well for us. We just weren't making shots. I think our defense was playing, you know, pretty exceptional despite giving up 35 points. And if we came out in the second half and just made a couple shots, I think we were going to win. And that's what happened. We played good defense. Our shots started to go in and ended up winning by two.
Yeah, and I think that obviously the key to the game was defending Motley. Like, we knew that was going to be a problem. We did a pretty good job in the second half against him, in the first matchup in Allen Fieldhouse against him. I can't remember what it was, but he like attempted like one shot in the second half of that game. We did a really good job. And we had, what, 5 days to prepare for this game? That's the one thing I felt pretty good about, was giving self enough time to draw up some different looks for Motley on the defensive side of the ball. You saw traps. You saw sometimes they didn't trap him. You saw different kind of double teams. You saw guards coming in and bothering him. And I thought that was a huge key to the game. Something like, you know, he still ended up with 19 and 11, right? But he took 21 shots to get there. And he had 6 turnovers. I mean, we bothered him, right? I mean, I think that was a huge key to the game.
Right. You lessened his impact. The defense, especially, there wasn't always a double team on him, but they were always doing something, or throwing something at him to throw him off guard. And, you know, he had some putbacks. He just, you know, out-muscled some guys. But, you know, definitely keeping him from being the hero helped us win this game.
Well, speaking of hero, Andrew, I think there were two heroes in this game. I'm going to play this little drop because we haven't done it forever.
Here's the three.
Who was the player of the game?
Frank Mason.
I mean, Landon's got to have an argument, though, right?
He played solid. He missed one ball off his hands. It may have been Josh Jackson's fault. But otherwise, I didn't yell at the screen as much at Landon Lucas, and I think that means that he's coming along. He's getting
Landon
into March.
Great.
He played great.
I thought he played good. This is one of my favorite games of Landon Lucas so far, like in his career. Not just because he made the free throws late, because obviously that was huge, but he was playing possessed underneath. I mean, even from the very tip, he was going after every ball so hard. He, you know, the two fouls he picked up were both hustle plays. I mean, they could not, like, there was, if it was 50-50 and the ref kind of swallowed their whistle, maybe a tournament game, he wouldn't have been called for those fouls. It was, he got those fouls because he was freaking going after it. I loved Landon's game. And I mean, he, like, from a toughness standpoint, from the guys that he had to defend in this game, plus, you know, just assert himself, I loved the way Landon played this game. He snared a couple offensive rebounds that he had no business getting that win. I mean, frankly, helped basically win us the game. And then, obviously the free throws late were huge. So, I completely agree that Frank is probably the player of the game, but like right there for me was Landon, because he was my blue collar player of the game. No doubt. He was awesome.
Okay. Definitely blue collar player of the game, but let's move on to talk about Frank Mason. 8 for 8 from the free throw line, yeah. Total of 23 points, 8 assists. It's hard to get, if you're going to take enough shots to get 23 points, you rarely see a guy have barely any assists, but nearly a double-double with assists, and, you know, running all over the court. Only one turnover.
Yep.
One turnover.
And 12 shots. 12 shots. 23 points, right. 12 shots. That's the difference between he and Motley. He had 21, and he only had 19. I mean, 12 shots.
You know, very efficient player. Our three-point shots weren't, like, falling.
Not at all.
not at all, or, you know, like they usually do, but that just meant that Frank had to do something else. And, you know, good at driving, good at kicking, you know, good at getting fouled. And I think this, you know, KU gets a lot of flack for, you know, sometimes the foul disparity. And you know what? Allen Fieldhouse may have something to do with that. But it also may have to do with the way that we play, is that we drive a lot and we get fouled a lot when we drive. And that goes to show, you know, Frank Mason can get fouled and make 8 free throws in the Farrell Center. That's not Allen Fieldhouse. That's just the way we play.
Yeah, and he was great. I mean, he was great from the beginning. He was not making shots early, or no one was really making shots early, but he was finding ways to distribute the ball, as you mentioned, getting good looks inside, a couple drives where he found, you know, the wide open layup or dunk. I mean, that dish to Josh was insane. That one where he where he did this like kind of spin move or drove in and then kind of spun back and got it to, I think it was Carlton. That was insane. I mean, he looked like a point guard, frankly. And sometimes you don't see that all the time out of Frank. You see, you know, he's obviously a facilitator, but he really looked like a true point guard in this game. And man, he played really well. You're at 23 points, 8 assists. I mean, continuing to look like the National Player of the Year. And frankly, at this point, I mean, if you had to end the story today, do you think he'd win it?
I think so. I mean,
so too.
Best player on one of the best teams, you know, high his
numbers
stats,
are good.
His yep. stats are there and his intangibles are there. So, you know, people like to vote for a story in terms of those awards. Great story.
Great story.
Senior. He's got to have a great shot. I don't know if he's absolutely going to win, but he's going to be close. Maybe our best shot to get one of those guys since, well, even Thomas Robinson was going to get swallowed up by Anthony Davis. It may be our best shot in a long time.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be in the rafters, Andrew. Isn't that crazy? We're looking at a All-American type player. We're looking
right.
at a guy whose jersey is going to be in the rafters. It's hard to kind of think about that in the moment, you know? Like, it's hard to kind of look. I mean, sometimes you like Paul Pierce, like that dude is absolutely insane. He's going to be in the rafters. He's that good. Danny Manning, you know, whatever, same thing. But you don't think like Frank Mason, like coming into the year, like you wouldn't have said that.
But well, let's think about his first year. His first year came in with that recruiting class of Andrew Wiggins. And then this little guy, Frank Mason, you know, going down the line, like, who's this little guy? Who's this little guy? And like, if you had to pick from anyone in that recruiting class, like who's going to be in the rafters,
right?
You wouldn't have picked Frank. We heard good things about him. It wasn't like he was some slouch, but you would have said, okay, well, Wiggins probably wins National Player of the Year and gets in the rafters. But, you know, Wiggins had a good season, but Frank's been Mr. Jayhawk for 4 straight years.
That's right.
And I'm going to give, I'm going to let you talk. I'm going to give everyone an update. And I got to do this math about where Frank Mason stands all time on the scoring list.
Okay.
And he's getting up there. So I'm going to do this calculator right now and we'll get there.
You should do that calculator right now. While I'm thinking about it, I was looking at the Big 12 conference, all conference team. And just because I was kind of thinking about like who else, in the conference, and I was looking at KenPom. Actually, he's got Motley, you know, with the numbers based approach as the player of the year in the Big 12, which he'll obviously be on the team. But Frank's probably going to win that award. So it's Motley. It's got to be Frank. Probably Josh Jackson too. And then who do you have next? You got options like Monte Morris, Juwan Evans.
I think those are the two. I think those two
you
get
think
in.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just kind of.
I mean, there's a couple other choices, but in terms of, you know, once again, West Virginia doesn't get anybody in. Like maybe Javon Carter. But in terms of individual performance, I think Juwan Evans and I think Monte Morris, those guys deserve to be on that first team. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I've got an update.
All right. Good.
Frank currently has 1,681 points. Which puts him right at number 13 behind Kevin Pritchard, Kirk Heinrich. And so he's got to get about 11 more to pass Kevin Pritchard.
My man. I love Kevin Pritchard. I've got a poster of Kevin Pritchard.
We've got 4 games left in the Big 12 season. So if he scores at his average of 20, that's going to put him right at Perry Ellis level.
Okay.
So he's going to have as much as Perry Ellis going into the or close to going into the Big 12 tournament and NCAA tournament. He could realistically finish 5th or 6th right around Sherron Collins level.
Wow.
Maybe a little bit less than Sherron Collins. Right ahead. I bet he can finish ahead of Darnell Valentine.
Wow.
And Keith Langford.
That sounds like a guy who's going to be in the rafters. Crazy to think about. Well, Andrew, let's move on from that Baylor game other than to say, I think it wraps up number 13, doesn't it?
I think it wraps up. I don't think we're jinxing anything.
No, I don't think so.
Normally, I'm pretty superstitious about it. Like, we don't want to, like, get ahead of ourselves. But I think that we're in a good spot. We can talk about it. And I think the most important thing to talk about is, what's the logo going to look like?
Okay. What do you got? You have an idea here. Are you calling Kansas Sampler right now? Are you like on the phone?
No, this is too easy, though. They're more than welcome to take this because they probably already printed the shirts with this. Well, you take the one and the three makes a B. So you have the one and the three turn it into a B and then just put IG12 champions and then have the 13. Like that's too easy. That's
a little low-hanging fruit.
But that's what it's going to be. Do we have any better options?
I don't think I... Something about a baker's dozen?
Okay.
Okay, think about it. Like, you got Frank Mason with, like, the big cook hat on, right? And he's, like, coming out with a plate of rings, and it says, baker's dozen.
Oh, right? I love this. Just, like... When you said baker's dozen, I was like, eh.
Right? Like, put the hat on. Like, you get the chef hat on.
Yeah, like, but the then baker, the little cartoon or visual with it.
Yeah, and he's got, like, a plate of rings. Like, there's 13 rings.
But they look like cupcakes or something.
Well, yeah.
Like, but they're giant cupcakes. Rings.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You like that?
Okay.
I'd buy that
shirt. I would hang that on my wall.
I'd buy that shirt. All right, so you got your idea. I've got mine. We'll see which one ends up selling the most.
Well, I like yours better, but I think mine's going to be the one that's on the shirts.
I think
but,
you're probably right.
Or 13 straight 13. So when we were doing eight straight, the
eight straight,
STR8, that was kind of incredible to even get to that point. And would you ever imagine saying 13 stra 13? And then when we were doing the 9 stra 9, we thought we were clever because, like, oh, last year was 8 straight. This is right. 9 stra 9. This is kind of ridiculous that it's 13 stra 13.
It is indeed. Well, Andrew, I guess we could quickly talk about that. So that would tie the record UCLA had, right? They had 13 as well. And then potentially next year, a chance to break the record. I guess at the beginning of the year, we talked about this and I don't remember what it was, but it was something like we set a line on this and it was something like over under 2 or 2.5 games KU wins the Big 12 by. Because at the time we were talking about how it looked like on paper, Kansas had the far and away best team in the Big 12. And then as as games were started playing out in the early non-con season, we were like, oh crap, maybe not. maybe there's some firepower in the Big 12. All of a sudden Baylor's looking ridiculous. West Virginia was great. And then we were seeing kind of the middle teams, that middle tier really develop. And then we all looked at each other like, maybe it's going to be a little closer race. And then here we are, mid February, late February, and it's potentially going to be 2 or 3 games. I'd like to revisit that line, but how about that? Like, kind of hard to believe.
Hard to believe. It kind of gets back to where we thought. Now, if it's 2.5, do you think we over or under? What do you think we end up at? Now, I think West Virginia and Baylor still have to play. Iowa State still has to play both Baylor and West Virginia. So between the teams that could possibly, get to 2, they're going to beat each other. Somebody's got to lose.
Baylor's got to play at Iowa State still and then has to play West Virginia at home. So let's say they lose one of those, which is possible. Ken Palm's got them losing the game at Iowa State and winning by 2 at home against West Virginia. So theoretically, they lose one of those. Ken Palm still has them losing one of those in an overall record standpoint. West Virginia has to play. They've actually probably got the easiest. Well, no. So they got to go to Baylor, of course, as we mentioned, and then they have Iowa State as well. So you're right. So they've got Ken Palm's got them losing one more game on the schedule as well. So theoretically, I mean, and to be fair, Kansas also has a loss on Ken Palm's schedule at Oklahoma State. So if everybody loses one more game, I mean, yeah, that's still 3, right? So I guess I feel pretty good that it might be 3, Andrew. I mean, 2.5, I think, is the right line, but What do you think?
I think three, and it could stretch out a little bit.
It could even stretch out potentially.
It depends on how we approach these last four games.
You're right.
Could potentially clinch it on Wednesday against TCU, but you know, that's a big accomplishment. But where are we in terms of a one seed? You know, these are the things we focus on Big 12, and then you know see how that works out in terms of getting a one seed. You know, if we lose in the Big 12 tournament or lose, you know, one or two down the stretch, are we still in a position for a one seed? What do you think?
I think so. I mean, you gotta look at the whole entire breadth of the season, right? I mean, what do we look at? We look at schedule, and we're talking about the tournament now, kind of, and seeding. You look at their schedule, you look at your marquee wins, and you look at bad losses. And, in terms of the schedule, let's just say, play it out, we lose at Oklahoma State, and we lose in the second round of the tournament to whoever, right? We will have six losses, but we'll also have, I guess it would be wins. We are currently, we are 23 and 3. I mean, is that right?
Right. 23 and 3.
So win four more games, we'd be 27 and six.
24 and 3.
So 24 and 3. 24 and 3. So let's say we beat TCU, Texas, and Oklahoma. All right, the next three games, 27 and 3. We lose at Oklahoma State, 27 and 4. We win our first game in the Big 12, 28 and 4, and we lose the next game, 28 and 5. Andrew, with really, frankly, the only bad loss would have been Indiana, which first game of the season, I think mostly on the committee are not really going to put too much into that. With wins, Andrew, against Duke, at Kentucky, Duke on a neutral, at Kentucky, at Baylor at home, West Virginia. I mean, that when you start to look at the marquee wins, and you hear people say like top 50 KenPom wins, we have a bunch of top 50 KenPom top 50 RPI wins. But if you do this and you go, how about top 25 RPI wins? Like, our number's not that different from 20, because most of our wins have been against top 25 RPI teams, our marquee wins. So I guess when you're looking at it, yeah, Gonzaga's probably going to get a one seed, right? Villanova's probably going to get a one seed. So you're talking about the next two. And it's probably down to, like, us, North Carolina, potentially. I think
Arizona,
we got a pretty good shot. Arizona. I mean, whoever wins out there, I think we got a really, really good shot. If we take care of some business the last few games, don't drop one we're not supposed to drop, unless it's in the Big 12 tournament. And then, frankly, if we lose in the second round of Big 12 tournament and we get three more days of rest, I don't care. as long as we get that one in the Midwest. I want that one in the Midwest.
I think we can win that game. I think we will win the Big 12. But... you know, I'm not a guy who wants to, like, intentionally, like Roy didn't take the Big 12 or the Big 8 tournament very seriously, and didn't win it very often. He won it a handful of times, but Bill Self takes a different approach to that. But I'd like to win that and then, you know, be feeling strong going into the tournament.
I agree. I mean, there's something to be said about, like, running the table and having a bunch of momentum, right? So I'm totally with you. We will still have 5 days of rest, no matter what, to end plan and game planning opportunities for the tournament. So, but man, just looking at the one seed bubble, man, I'm feeling pretty good about our chances to lock up that one seed in the Midwest, which is what we wanted from the beginning of the season, right? You got Tulsa and Kansas City? Is it Tulsa in the first?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So Tulsa and Kansas City path to the Final Four. Come on, man. So we would, that would be great. So hopefully that is what happens. Andrew, let's maybe parlay this into a discussion about the last four games to play, since we're sort of talking about it anyway. On our little rundown here, we were talking about schedule get in, right? This last eight game stretch. And I asked you, you know, like, so we just got done with schedule getting. What we need a name for the last four games because schedule getting's over. I mean, it's over. Schedule, we're done with schedule getting. What did you come up with?
Aftershock Alley.
Okay, and I like that. I actually really like
so
that.
So there's still some hiccups, some danger spots that we need to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
It's not schedule getting's over, but you know, the danger still exists. Uh-huh. Aftershock Alley coming soon.
Okay.
So let's run through who we have to play. Wednesday, we've got to play TCU at home. Now, when we played TCU in Fort Worth, it was a close game. We ended up winning by 6, but they're coming back to Allen Fieldhouse. KenPom gives us an 86% chance to win, and it has it about a 12-point game.
You know,
they do need a win.
They need a win. I mean, they're looking at they've lost 3 in a row, Andrew, and they haven't been good. I mean, I guess they were the decent teams. There was Baylor, Oklahoma State, and Iowa State. So, you know, whatever. Bad. The good teams to lose to. But right now they're 6-8 in the Big 12 with matchups still left against Kansas and West Virginia. They might be thinking, God, we might need this. One of these. At least maybe the one against us or West Virginia. So, I don't know. So, yeah, this is a little scary game. Aftershock Alley.
West Virginia. Yeah, they can have the West Virginia game. We'll go ahead and bring out the trophies on Wednesday night for the crowd. That's my favorite.
Do you think they will? Do you think they will bring them out? Even right. On a tie, a potential, you know, it's quote.
Yeah. I think they'll bring them out, and then I think they'll do everything. They'll do it again for senior night.
Okay. I hope so.
They'll bring them all out, and Bill Self will like say a little thing, and then on senior night they'll bring them all out again. But they won't do the Big 12 stuff. They'll just do the Frank Mason speech and all that stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, TCU is, I think, 42 in KenPom right now. They've fallen off quite a bit from where they were. So we'll see what happens in that game. I feel good, obviously, coming home. I don't think we're gonna lose that game. So hopefully you're right. The trophies come out. Next game, who we got?
We have at Texas.
Okay.
So go to Austin, Texas. Not great this year. They're struggling. They're 4-10 in the Big 12. Not looking good at all for a postseason berth. You know, very, very slim chances unless they win the Big 12 tournament or something or really turn things around. Not going to happen. So, you know, a disappointing year for Shaka Smart, but kind of a dangerous team, especially going in to Texas.
Yeah.
All their wins have come at home in the Big 12. So they play, you know, got 4 wins at home. But, you know, we should be able to take care of this game.
Here's
too.
Their home losses. K-State by 3 points. Let's see. Then they didn't lose at home for a while. They beat Iowa State at home. They beat Texas Tech at home. They beat Oklahoma at home. Then they lost to West Virginia at home by 2 points, TCU at home by 3 points. So like the only losses they've had in the Big 12 have been by 3 points or less at home. So they're a different team at home. That could be a tougher game. You know, here we are in Aftershock Alley. You got to be careful in Aftershock Alley.
You got to be there. There are still hiccups and explosions just ready.
You got to be careful.
Bust open in Aftershock Alley. We've got to be at our best. Okay, let's move on to the next game. The next game is we come back home and play an Oklahoma team that is without Jordan Woodard, who is, I guess, done for his career after suffering an injury. But these younger guys for Oklahoma are actually pretty good. Now, their record doesn't show it. They have only won 3 games in the Big 12 against Texas, West Virginia. They did beat West Virginia and Texas Tech, but guys like Cameron McGusty. Not only does Cameron McGusty have a cool name,
he
is a freshman who's, you know, gonna be a pretty good player. Christian Doolittle as well.
Great name.
What's this deal with Lon Kruger recruiting guys with great names?
Great name.
Great names. Those guys are gonna be, you know, pretty good next year and down the line for Oklahoma. So something to look forward to for them. However, coming into Allen Fieldhouse on senior night, I don't like the Sooners' chances there.
Yeah, we're going to win that game. I don't even want to talk about it. The last one, though, Andrew, This is a real hiccup what do we call it? Aftershock Alley.
Aftershock Alley.
Hashtag Aftershock Alley. That's at Oklahoma State. And as we mentioned earlier, Ken Pom actually has us predicted to lose this game. Oklahoma State, man, like they are officially probably even off the bubble, right? At this point, like they're 7-7 in the Big 12, which is crazy to think of considering they started 0-6. And they're on a run, man. The only loss they've had in that stretch was at home against Baylor, but it was a 3-point loss. They've got K-State, Tech, and Iowa State left. So we'll see what happens on those games. The K-State and Iowa State games, they both got to go on the road. So, but the good news is, you know, I don't think they'll be playing this game to get in the tournament. I think they're in, right? Unless they just, I mean, even if they fold completely, they still might be in. So we'll see what happens there. But that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, they're good. They're real good.
They're good.
You mentioned they're 7-7 in the Big 12, but they're ranked 20th in KenPom, which is good for Brett Underwood and Juwan Evans and the folks. But, you know, they've got games against K-State, Texas Tech, and Iowa State. You know, if they can get a pick off a couple there, I don't think that they're going to need this win against KU. I think they're solidly in. I don't know what seed they put them at. You know, they can definitely improve their seed. But, you know, they're a solid team. Juwan Evans, you know, if he sticks around for next year, that's going to be quite the team that they're going to have there down in Stillwater. He might go pro. He's too good. But the only thing about him, he's 6'1". So guys like that, you know, just stick around because the NBA says we're not interested. But
we want you to grow. Come back and grow a couple inches.
Grow 5 inches and come back and see us.
All right. Well, Andrew, that is the end of Aftershock Alley. So watch out, though. As we mentioned, there are some landmines in Aftershock Alley. You got to watch your step. There are still some games left to play. So we will be hashtagging Aftershock Alley pretty much the rest of the season now that Schedule Geddon's over. And quick recap of Schedule Geddon, 6-2. Andrew, we talked about 4-4 being like, okay, we could still be okay. We still might be able to get a 1 seed. 5-3, we're like, yes, that would be nice. 6-2, I think we're pretty happy with.
We didn't really even consider that as a possibility.
I know. Isn't that crazy? And the one loss is at home to freaking Iowa State. I mean, that's the crazy part. Like that, if you take that one out, I mean, God dang. So what a great stretch for KU on Schedule Geddon. Locking up the Big 12. I mean, frankly, really close to locking up a 1 seed, and that, you know, they deserve it for winning those games. That's it. And Andrew, a lot of those games, though, you know, people are talking about how KU is playing with fire. Andrew, we're going to talk about that for a second.
Water cooler conversations.
Water cooler conversations.
The water cooler conversation, Andrew, is KU is winning close games by the just skin of their teeth, right? We keep talking about this KU wins close games thing. And the ongoing debate is, okay, does winning close games, does that help you in March? Does it maybe hurt you in March? Is there something that's somewhere in between? And there's always this debate like, oh no, it helps you. If you come back from 12 down or 14 down, it shows you next time around, you can build on that. So if you find yourself down 12 to Kentucky or whatever, and who's a 5 seed or 4 seed, you know, you can find your way back, right? So you just build on what you did before. Where do you fall in this debate?
Well, I think the obvious example is this past Baylor game, is that we won this close game, but you got to ask yourself how we won that close game. Was it luck? I don't think so. Baylor didn't have a field goal in the last 4 minutes of the game. They had some free throws here and there, but you know, that's when the team really locked down. And I think a lot of that has to do with coaching. Not necessarily coaching in the moment, but coaching, getting your team ready to play in those high intense, high leverage situations. And KU's ready to play in those situations. We saw that against West Virginia. We saw that against Baylor. So I think it's preparation, getting your team ready. But I also think it's in-game coaching. Let's go back to the Baylor game. 6 seconds left or 10 seconds left, Landon Lucas gets fouled by Baylor. puts in two free throws to put KU up two. Baylor calls a timeout. What does Scott Drew during that timeout? He yells at the referee the entire time. He's yelling at the referee the entire time during that timeout and does not get his team coached up. Maybe an assistant coach is doing it. I don't know. But he's yelling at the ref. What he should be doing is coming up with some kind of play that's better than what they ran. Because what they ran was not a play. It was have LeCompte get the ball and figure out something to do. Because what happened was LeCompte got trapped at the free throw or beyond the three-point line, tried to split through it, threw up this terrible shot, and it was, you know, great defense by KU. Baylor didn't do anything. They weren't ready.
Supposedly, they did drop a play, and it was actually supposed to go over the top to Motley. Because
didn't happen.
But it did not happen. It did not happen. And credit Kansas, again, on a last second, you know, defensive possession. They're making this like be a thing, Andrew. Like the other team has a chance to tie or win with the ball, and they don't even get any kind of shot off. I mean, this has happened three or four times this season already. I mean, they know how to buckle down defensively. Josh Jackson out front, you know, trapping is just a killer out there. And credit to him. I mean, I don't even think that might have been part of the defensive gameplay. It might have been. But the fact that he left his man, I mean, he just left this guy, ran over and just said, okay, good luck. You know, like we are hounding you and to do so without fouling. I mean, that was insane. So I think you're right. It does come down to coaching. There might be a tiny bit of a luck factor involved, but the luck factor I think is, you know, you make your own luck in some ways. And I think one of the ways you make your own luck is you bring it to the other team. You force them to come back at you. Like you are the aggressor. And we have three dudes on our team, Andrew, that are just, I mean, they are stone-faced killers when it comes time. We have Frank Mason, who's never backing down. I mean, he is always going to be the one taking it at you. We got Josh Jackson as a freshman, which is crazy. Just an insane competitor. And then, Andrew, the one that you might not be thinking I'm going to say is Landon Lucas. Like that guy, if I need to get a board late, like he showed me something in this game. I mean, we've seen it all year, but if you need me to go do something dirty late to make sure I get that ball, like that dude's a killer too. And I think when you got that type of mentality, like we are going to win this game, you are not going to win this game. That toughness that Bill Self just freaking talks about and makes him so happy all the time about this team. And you heard it after the game, it wasn't even this game, it was a previous game, West Virginia, where he said something like a veiled shot at Bruce Weber and other coaches when he said, you know, whatever, I'm paraphrasing, but with respect to all the other coaches out there, there's no one that plays tougher than we are. There's no one tougher than we are. No one plays harder than we do. And that was the play hard chart, you know, the discussion that Bruce was talking about. So, I'm with him. Like you make your own luck in some ways with the way that you attack a game, and man, they're doing that. So this close game thing, I mean, let's ride it all the way to the end. As long as we keep winning them, I don't care, because we've shown a way to do that.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's going to be 13 straight. And we've said this before. We seem to say this every year, but don't let the 13 straight talk diminish what this team has done, because right. it's hard to win the Big 12 every year. And by just saying, oh, it's Kansas, they win the Big 12, diminishes what this team has accomplished. And to be up by three games with four to go against the number one or in the number one ranked conference in the country, by whatever metric you want to go by, that's double round robin. It's not like you get to skip a team here and there. It's double round robin. It's, you know, by far, you know, you separate yourself, and you know it's quite amazing that this team specifically, this 16-17 Jayhawk team, should deserve all the accolades, not necessarily compared to the rest of those.
All right, Andrew, let's wrap this up and get into some actual Big 12 talk.
How about playing a little defense? You ever heard of that one, Stan?
BCS.
Dollar sign.
Andrew, there is a race in the Big 12 right now. I know people aren't talking about it, but there is a race that is heating up in the Big 12. And this is the sprint for the silver, right? The sprint for the silver, the second place team in the Big 12 that everyone seems to play for. I'm proposing this to the Big 12, and maybe I'll write a letter to Big 12. I think that it should be possible that if we're going to hang like NIT participation banners in Big 12 arenas, we should also hang second place in the Big 12 banners and be able to put like 2016, second place in the Big 12, 2015, second place in the Big 12. Don't you think?
Like, name it something else. We'll name it like...
No, yeah, it'll have a better name.
Like,
but
maybe you should call it the Self Cup. Like, if you're going to hang it, like, you've got to have some recognition that you know, it's the Self Cup. You won the Self Cup this year. Congratulations.
It's huge. It is a huge accomplishment to finish second in the Big 12. And I just... Here's the thing. I think we ought to recognize that.
You know, Scott Drew, three-time Self Cup Award winner.
Three-time Self Cup Award winner. I mean, why wouldn't you reward those players? I mean, don't give them a ring, but give them like a, I don't know. What would you give them? Give them like a,
well, K-State would make t-shirts.
Okay. Well, that's something. You could give them a ring. Just give them like a real small ring, like a little small, like a band. Give them a band that just says Self Cup Champion.
Well, this is my Self Cup ring.
Self Cup ring.
Really proud of this.
Tell your grandkids about your Self Cup ring, because again, huge accomplishment, because we all know, like, first place Kansas, right? Whatever, Kansas wins the Big 12, and then it's the sprint for the silver cup. It's the sprint for the silver Self Cup. There should be a cup. There should be rings. There should be banners. I'm telling you, this should happen. And I listen. I think it's a huge accomplishment. If K-State hangs a banner for NIT participation, they should absolutely hang a banner for second place in the Big 12, right?
They got one of those. Well, I guess we tied with them, but that still counts as...
Yeah.
We beat them twice that year, so they get the Self Cup 2013. They should, you know, make a DVD about that.
Absolutely. I don't see why you wouldn't. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, anyway, I just want to say it would be a huge, huge accomplishment for whoever wins the Silver Cup. And Andrew, who's going to win the Silver Cup this year? Silver Self Cup. We got to find a better name. Whatever it is.
It's the Silver Self Cup. We'll just call
Silver
it
Self Cup.
We'll just call it the Self Cup.
Okay, the Self Cup. Who's going to win the Self Cup?
I think Baylor.
Okay.
Because they've got West Virginia at home. I think they'll be able to take care of that. And then, that's tough from there. I'm going to go with Baylor. I think they're the second best team. I really do. Like, aside from remaining schedule, I'm just going to go with who I think the best team is of those three. I think Baylor's the best team.
I think that's fair. So Baylor, and I guess we'll just kind of by extension do our power rankings here. So Kansas, first place. Baylor, currently at the front of running for the Self Cup. And then who do you have, Andrew? Because this is when it gets kind of interesting. Oh, I mean, it's interesting from the beginning, but the next two teams are starting to push for this sprint for the Self Cup.
I think that I don't change it. I think it goes West Virginia and then Iowa State. I think that's been the order kind of all year. You know, Iowa State has a real opportunity to play some of these teams and get some wins. I'm going to go with West Virginia and then Iowa State.
All three are 9-5 in the conference right now. So credit to Iowa State for kind of coming back and making this interesting as the sprint for the Self Cup. They are projected, Andrew, for what it's worth in KenPom, to be one more loss than the other two. So they're projected for 7 losses. The other two are projected for 6. So we'll see. And then, Andrew, the next one up, I think it's Oklahoma State, right?
100%.
Okay, we're not messing around with this anymore. It's Oklahoma State 5. We've been saying it for a while.
Right. They were kind of middling through the bottom, you know, at the start of the Big 12 season just because of the offseason they had. And then they the preseason they had, and then lost 6 in a row. It's hard to come back from that. But they have. They're 5 with a bullet. They're going to make the tournament, and they're going to be a tough out for anybody.
So the next one, this has been kind of difficult because we've got K-State, we've got TCU, and then we've got kind of Texas Tech there as well. TCU and K-State have both lost at least three in a row. I can't remember what it is. And Texas Tech has lost three of four, but they do have a win against Baylor and almost a win against West Virginia last night in overtime. Actually, double overtime, wasn't it? Double overtime, in which West Virginia won the game without freaking making a field goal in either overtime. Like, let's just talk about that foul disparity. Yeah. It's like, take that, Huggins. I mean, I'm not listening to anything you ever say about that again. They won by 9 points, too. So, anyway, I think that's right. Don't quote me on that. Someone on text message said that, so I didn't watch it. But anyway, so West Virginia almost lost that game. Texas Tech has at least an argument for sixth, right?
You know, they've got the best win, the best most recent win. I mean, they're all kind of close together in terms of record. Just to slight the K-State fans, I'm going to go with Texas Tech.
The Texas Tech, KenPom, it looks like they're 36th. K-State is 28th. So at least by KenPom, K-State's better, but I'm with you. Let's go Tech. And then the next one, K-State or TCU, though, is another question.
Battle of the Purple Guys.
Ooh. Since we're about to play TCU, let's put TCU there.
Perfect.
Okay, TCU, then K-State. That's more like it. And then, Andrew, it finishes off with Texas and Oklahoma, right? So that is the power rankings and the update on the sprint for the Self Cup. It's going to be an interesting finish, Andrew, to the sprint for the Self Cup. We will be watching this extremely closely, right?
Extremely closely. And then, you know, the winner, we will present the revered Silver Self Cup.
There's a lot at stake here. There's a lot at stake. A lot at stake. All right. So, Andrew, let's get out of here with a little conversation quickly about some recruiting talk. We talked about Thursday. There was going to be an announcement of Trey Young, his decision on where to go. It looked like kind of middle of the week that some of the 24/7 crystal ball picks started flipping crimson, going toward staying home in Norman at Oklahoma. Sure enough, that ended up happening. He stayed home at Oklahoma. Can't really, you know, blame him for staying home in his hometown or whatever. But, you know, some guys want to win championships and some guys want to finish 10th in the Big 12. So it is what it is. We will certainly be seeing a lot of Trey Young. I think he'll probably maybe get a boo or two next year. Would you expect inside Allen Fieldhouse?
Yeah, but, you know, we still wanted the guy. We still respect his game, but, you know.
Now you boo him. That's the deal.
It's not like we boo Kavar Shepherd or anything. You know, what happened to Kavar Shepherd for TCU? He's like the last guy off the bench now.
Yeah, I know. That's a good question.
So anyway. But guys like that, it happens. We lose guys like Marcus Smart, though. Similar situation. Like I would, you know, compare it very favorably or similar situations where he chose Oklahoma State over KU. And, you know, he got plenty of boos, but he deserved it.
He deserved it. So, yeah, it sucks that Trey won't be here. So we're looking now. There's another top point guard still available in the class, Trevon Duval. He's actually ranked higher on Rivals, I think, quite a bit higher than Trey Young, although Trey was pretty good. So Trevon Duval is probably down to Duke and us is the two that are they're seemingly most mentioned. Duke probably has a pretty good lead against us at the moment. But, you know, I think you look at maybe even the crystal ball on that. I think Duke's got a pretty commanding lead. But, you know, at the time, a lot of people still thought that Trey Young was coming to Kansas. So at least a point, according to the same metric or not metric, the same site and being 24/7. So maybe some of those picks that had Trey Young going to Kansas are now flipping Trevon Duval to Kansas because we obviously need a point guard. So does Duke, though. I mean, Duke's in a very similar situation that we are. They don't have a committed point guard. They need a point guard really bad. We need a point guard, but we don't know how much we need a point guard, right? It depends if Devontae comes back. We obviously have Malik Newman coming in, assuming he stays. We don't know about Svi. We don't know about, you know, some of these other guys. We obviously don't know about Devontae, but we could probably be fine if Devontae comes back and Newman does in fact stick around. But if both go, we really need a point guard. So I think it'd obviously be really nice if Duvall does commit to Kansas. We'll see. There's been some movement on when he's going to commit. I think it's coming up from what it sounded like that he was going to start talking about making a decision relatively soon. So McDonald's All-American guy would be certainly very nice to get back in the running with him. Any thoughts on this whole recruiting talk?
Well, I mean, it's disappointing to see Trey Young not commit here, but you know, KU's not for everybody. He made his decision, but you know, it'll be interesting to see how this team plays out for next year. But you know, right now I'm focused on 2017.
Yep.
Got to get this 13 for 13. Got to get this. We got to make a title run. It's time to make a title run.
It is. It absolutely is.
Time. We have a month to do it. We basically clinched the Big 12. The tournament starts in, you know, almost a month, and we'll be ready to go.
I was talking to my wife last night and kind of joking, like, because we're about to have a baby, right? And I was kind of joking.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know. So, and I'm thinking, so here's the deal. Like, I'm working on names, right? And I keep trying to figure out a way to do a tie-in, right, with a KU player or like a KU, right? And I think we're really close to Miles, by the way. I think Miles is the leader in the clubhouse. Do not say anything to my wife, but no one listens to this podcast anyway. So, but I think Miles might be the leader. And I keep thinking like, that's pretty good because Aaron Miles, like that whole thing, Aaron Miles, is one of my favorite players. Are you cool with that? Do you like that name, Miles?
Yeah, I like it.
You like that name? All right.
I like it.
Miles, Tyshawn, Sviatoslav.
In that order?
Meckley. No, those are middle names.
Oh, okay.
All right. So like right in between there, we get Miles up front. Then we get Tyshawn in there, which by the way, I forgot to say this. I put on a Tyshawn jersey last night or yesterday with 4 minutes to play and we won. So now the Tyshawn jersey is coming with me everywhere we go. If the baby is coming during the game, I will have my Tyshawn jersey on in the delivery room. And my wife is going to look at me like, what are you wearing? Tyshawn jersey.
Tyshawn Taylor.
Tyshawn Taylor Tyshawn. Jersey. It's baby Tyshawn coming out. All right. Well, let's get out of here, Andrew. We're really excited about this, man. Close games or not, I will take 1-point victories all the way through. Man, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a fun run. And Big 12 tournament coming up, gonna be a blast in Kansas City as always. We will see you guys there. We will see you at Allen Fieldhouse for clinching the Big 12 officially. And I guess until then, Andrew, rock chill. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them
years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering, nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.